I'm Pastor Myron Dom. At Northmark Church, we believe the Bible is God's holy word, given to us from God for our benefit. God's word gives us wisdom, direction, comfort, and conviction. As we expound His word verse by verse each week, we hope to encourage and give you insight as you walk one step behind Jesus. Thanks for listening.
What stopped those shepherds in their tracks? Was it really concern for the sheep? Or was it disbelief that the angel wanted them to go see the Messiah? Many people still struggle with this same perception of inadequacy that may have plagued the shepherds. After all, we're just shepherds. Why would the angel appear to us? Of all the people groups God could have chosen to have sent the angel, why in the world did He choose shepherds? That's a great question for us to ponder this Sunday before Christmas. Why did He choose shepherds? Think of the people groups you might have chosen to announce the coming of the Messiah. Wouldn't you pick the chief priests? Certainly they would be able to certify it, to connect His arrival with the prophecies and convince everyone who this child really is. How about the ruling authorities? Wouldn't they need to know who is now here? Sure would make sense to get them in order, prepared to welcome the new king. Maybe you would pick the well-connected, the decision-makers, the influencers. Those folks know how to get the news out, how to get the ball rolling. There's a lot of ground to be covered here. The Messiah's on the scene. You've only got one chance to make it right. Of all the people groups you could have chosen, would you have ever thought of choosing shepherds? God chose those on the margins, those at the bottom, rather than those at the top or in the center. He did this on purpose, to make a clear and compelling point. Why did God choose the shepherds? Because Jesus comes for us all. Say that with me. Because Jesus comes for us all. There is not a person on this planet nor in this room who has done too much wrong nor wandered too far away that Jesus cannot draw them to Himself. Our Jesus will meet you right where you are. He desires a loving relationship with you. Yes, you. You. He does. He is not repulsed by your previous rejection of Him. He is not put off by the pride of your past. He stands here ready to welcome you with open arms. That's our God. He will receive you. He will not forsake you because Jesus came for us all. Many people spend their lives trying to be independent of God. Even those who claim to follow Jesus still struggle with this at times. Our sinful nature clamors to be in control. Who doesn't like being in control? Raise your hand. We all like being in control. But when life spins out of control, then we tend to look heavenward. And even though God is there, poised and ready to welcome us home, at times, that fleeting desperation for Him is choked out by fear. I don't deserve His help. I feel guilty around Him. Look at what I've done. Why would he want someone like me? This morning, I want us to listen again and listen carefully to what the angels said to the shepherds. They tell us who Jesus came for, who Jesus is, what he promises. The angel's message tells us Jesus came for us. Look with me at Luke chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, say it with me, church, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Jesus came for those overcome by fear. Our world is paralyzed by anxiety and fear. The list of fears that tempt us is simply too long to count. Fear lurks behind every corner. Each day, new fears pop up on our horizon, and how easily we can be swamped by them. Think with me this morning. What are you afraid of? Aren't there fears just here on the edge? Admit them. No matter how overwhelming that fear might appear to you in this moment, know today Jesus comes to take away your fear. That's why he comes. The angel continues his message in verse 10. I bring you good news. If there's one thing we never have enough of around here, it's good news. Isn't that the truth? No matter where you live on this earth, there's not enough good news going around. We are easily tempted to live in fear because we are inundated with bad news. Jesus came for those surrounded by bad news. From terror attacks to pink slips to diagnoses, there is no limit to the amount of bad news that can cascade into your life. And the older you get, it seems the more frequently the bad news comes. Is it true? It seems that way. What bad news has you or your family reeling? No matter how pervasive that bad news might seem today, know this: Jesus comes to bring you good news. The angel goes on, I bring you good news of great joy, he said. Wouldn't you like more joy? I don't mean the kind of fleeting happiness that you experience when the skies are blue in December in Northeast Ohio. I don't mean that kind of happiness. I mean the kind of joy that bad news cannot steal. The kind of joy that persists when fears are threatening you. Such joy is rare because we all face relentless discouragement. Jesus came for those struggling with discouragement. Fear and bad news culminate in discouragement. When it begins to build in your life, it feels like it's never going to stop. Discouragement makes you feel like the walls are closing in on you. Is there a way out? Is discouragement choking you today? No matter how suffocating it might feel, know this: Jesus comes to bring you joy. He really does. The angel says in verse 10, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. This is a universal offer. There are no limits, no qualifications, no exclusions. It's available to everyone, particularly those who feel worthless, those who feel they're not valuable, not wanted. Jesus came for those who feel inferior.
compared to others in their society, shepherds simply did not measure up. They were not respected. They were not trusted. They were overlooked. Can you relate to the shepherds? Do you feel that in some ways your life doesn't measure up? No matter how painfully inadequate you may feel today, know this: Jesus comes for you. He wants you on his team. The angel then tells the shepherds when and where this monumental event is happening. Verse 11, he says, "Today in the town of David." Bethlehem, hometown of David, Israel's favorite king. But let us not forget where David came from. He wasn't always a king. He had been a little shepherd boy, the youngest son in a large family of boys. He was not really noticed. He was relegated to tending his father's flocks. He did menial work day after day, mostly alone. He was no big deal in his family. When special guests came to visit, they didn't even bother to call him in from the fields. He was no big deal. Jesus came for those who are marginalized. Do you feel like you are living on the edges of life? Do you find yourself alone a lot of the time? No matter how palpable your loneliness may be to you, know this today: Jesus comes to be with you, to never leave you, to never forsake you, so you are never alone with him. David, the lonely shepherd boy, who tended his father's flocks and fought off lions and bears by himself, would miraculously leave the margin and become a central figure in the lineage of the Messiah. But even God never wanted David to forget where he had come from. In 2 Samuel, through the prophet Nathan, God speaks to Israel's favorite king and says this. This is what the Lord Almighty says: "I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men of the earth. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." It was the Lord God who made the difference in David's life. And it is the Lord Jesus who makes the difference for us and in us today. The angel's message tells us not only who Jesus came for, it tells us plainly who Jesus is. Verse 11, the angel said, "A Savior, capital S, has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." In those days, when this verse was originally penned, people used the word Savior, small s, to describe those who would deliver them from danger or from disease. If someone did something heroic or had a great idea to correct an issue, they were called saviors. Both Greek and Roman rulers were often referred to as saviors. And the pantheon of Greek gods worshipped in that time by the masses were also referred to as saviors, small s. So to proclaim Jesus as the capital S Savior was to make a bold statement to those who understood this. He was the deliverer, the only one who could ultimately rescue you from what your rulers or gods, small g, could not. Only Jesus can truly release people from fear and from fate. This same Jesus is the Christ, the long-awaited and prophesied Messiah who will deliver all who look to him in faith. He is Lord of all, meaning ruler of all. The question becomes, is he ruler of you? That's why he came, to deliver you, to protect you, to provide for you, and to direct you. This is good news of great joy that will be for all the people, declared to the shepherds. Verse 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. The angel's song rings with a promise for all, a promise we each need to take to heart this Christmas. Here's the promise: Jesus first, then peace. Put Jesus first in your life, then peace will come to your life. The angel sang it. Glory to God in the highest, they said. When you and I give glory to God, it means that we put a smile on his face. We do this as we trust him, as we obey him, as we accept his will, believe he is with us, believe he is able, believe nothing is impossible for him. When we glorify him like this, trusting Jesus with our whole life and our future, then he supernaturally gives us peace. You might be overcome by fear, surrounded by bad news, struggling with discouragement, feeling inferior or marginalized. But when you turn to Jesus in faith and you put a smile on his face as you reach out to him, seeking his presence, seeking his power in your life, then he will give you peace. I have his peace in my life. Do you? In spite of the fear that threatens me, in spite of the bad news that I hear personally, in spite of the discouragement lurking around the corners of my life, in spite of the realization that I'm completely inadequate for the things I am facing, I have peace, because I have Jesus. Jesus is in my life. Jesus loves me, and Jesus is enough. Believe this, friend. Jesus said it plainly in John 14. Look at this with me. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Look at what he said here. My peace is not like the peace the world gives. The only way you can find peace in this world apart from Jesus is when you have great relationships, a secure job, wonderful health, delightful opportunities, and how easily any one of those can be snatched from you any given week of your life. The security that we find on this planet in our own strength is fleeting. If you don't realize that yet, you're just too young. Give it a few more years. And you'll see how fleeting the good times and the good health and the good jobs and the good relationships are. They can be snatched out of your hands. What comes of your peace then if that's the source of your peace? It's gone. It evaporates like the morning dew. But if you have a peace that the Prince of Peace gives you, not like the world gives, then no matter what comes, your hearts can be calm and you can be secure. His peace will sustain. Can I get a witness on that this morning? It's true. It's true. It is the presence of Jesus in my life that gives me peace. It's not good circumstances. It's not loving friends and family. It's not good health. It's not a secure financial future. It is the presence of Jesus. The angels declared this. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. Peace to those who put a smile on his face, who trust him with their lives. The angels believed it. They took it to heart. It saturated their souls with peace. Look at how they reacted. Verse 16. They hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. It's amazing that we can have supernatural peace in spite of fears, bad news, discouragement, inferiority, being marginalized. It doesn't matter what we're up against. We can have peace when we have Jesus. Jesus first, then peace. I invite you to bow your heads with me. Do you have Jesus? If you're not following him yet, dear friend, you are missing out. And whatever peace you've been able to create for yourself, look, friend, look how fleeting it could be. One phone call could change it all. I invite you today to humble yourself and turn to the Prince of Peace. Ask him to be Lord over you. Nothing would put a smile on his face faster than you turning to him and asking him to be Lord over your life. He lived and died and rose again to forgive you of your sin, to set you free, to fill you with peace. If you turn to him in faith today, he will meet you there. I invite you to pray like a little child can pray. You can follow right after me. Lord, I need you. Take away my sin. Set me free. I believe you. Be Lord of me. Dear friend, if you prayed that childlike prayer with me, there's a card right there in front of you in the pew rack. It says, I choose to follow Jesus. You can take that card with you and you can read more about what it means to follow him. Many of us here today are already following Jesus. Brothers and sisters, let me ask you today, what fear, what bad news, what discouragement, what inadequacy, what's got a hold of you today? Will you lay it down at his feet? Will you look to him to be your Lord and Savior? Will you look to him to be the one to address whatever it is that's threatening, suffocating, choking your life. His promise to you is, look to me first. I'll give you peace. Do you need peace today? Whether you decided to follow Jesus a moment ago or you've been following him for decades, I ask this question this morning. Do you need his peace? I do. I invite you today, again, new follower or longtime follower, I invite you today, if you need his peace in your life because of something that's got you reeling or suffocating or concerned or anxious, I invite you to stand with me right where you're at. You stand on your own. I'm standing because I need his peace. And I invite you to stand too if you need his peace today. Stand with sincerity, friend. Don't stand because you hear movement. You need his peace, you stand. And by standing, we're saying, Jesus, I want you first in my life. Give me your peace. You say to him, Jesus, I put you first. Go ahead, tell him, Jesus, I put you first. Give me your peace. Lord, you hear our hearts. You know what we're up against. This life is filled with fear and bad news and discouragement. We are inadequate to deal with it. Loneliness, it grips us each. Lord, we come to you and we ask you, Lord, be Lord over us. Be my all, Jesus. I can't do this on my own. I need you, Jesus. Be Lord over me. And be Lord over that matter that keeps me awake at night. Give me your peace. Ask him for it, friend. Just say, Jesus, give me your peace. Ask him, Jesus, give me your peace. Jesus, we'll keep seeking you. We'll keep following you. We'll keep trusting you because we know you delight when your children trust you, when they look to you in faith. When they ask you to do what only you can do and believe that you can do it, then you are glorified. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your peace.
I hope this message from God's Word has encouraged you in your spiritual journey. On Sundays, we have an Inspire service at 9 a.m. in our fellowship hall and two Engage services in our sanctuary at 9:30 and 11. Come by and visit us. You can also check us out on the web at northmarchchurch.com or simply download the Northmar Church app to your device. We would be honored to serve you in any way we can. May the Lord give you an increased awareness of his presence in your life.